Alrighty, well today is Wednesday, June 17, 2020. I'm Anne here with Jillian. And let's just take a moment, Jillian, to pause and acknowledge that we're creating a new space in which to create whatever's most going to serve you. And we'll just do that by taking a couple deep breaths together. And we'll go ahead and do that now. And what's your sense of a quality or even a couple qualities that if you had more access to them right now, it would help you get the most out of this time today? Does the question make sense? Jillian. So if you're talking, I can't hear you. Are you possibly on mute? I'm going to go ahead and hang up and then call back in, and hopefully you can do the same. All right. Hi, Jillian. It's Anne. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Could you hear me before?
I could not. I think I pressed on hold with my button or with my cheek, so I apologize about that.
Okay. Well, here we are, and I heard that the recording's going, so let's just go ahead and jump into it.
Okay.
And give me a sense of what you'd love to have accomplished when we're finished today.
You know, I guess that's a difficult question to answer. I wasn't really sure of what to expect going in to the call. You know, I talked a little bit with Dr. Young and Shannon about them talking with you, and they've never really gone too in-depth with, you know, what you guys speak about or what goals and intentions you guys set. So I wasn't really sure. Shannon just, you know, let me know that she thought that it would be great for me to talk with you, and I guess see how it can relate with my job at Natural Balance, and I guess, you know, figuring out and exactly where I fit in the organization, and I guess just how I can be a better team member. I don't know if that's a good starting point or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, whatever is something that you feel like we could work with, we'll do that. Like, there's no things we should be doing. There's nothing that's off limits. It's like whatever's helpful to you. And people tend to know that either from what's frustrating them right now or from what they know they want to develop more and need some support in how that might happen. Does that help at all?
A little.
Okay.
I wish I was a little bit more prepared. I guess with what's frustrating me or what I would like to develop more of. I guess developing better, you know, I've been working a lot with trying to create a schedule for, you know, just like my work and my life and where the two kind of meet. I guess that's been, you know, it's just been kind of a process. So I guess time management is a good thing that I would like to work on, and just scheduling and planning.
Fantastic. So is your daughter home with you now?
She is not. She's in daycare at the moment.
Okay. And I didn't mean now as in right this minute, but is that part of your schedule, like how you do that?
Yeah, so it was. For the longest time, it was working while she's at home, and now I'm trying to move away from that as she's getting older and requiring, you know, a lot more attention. So what I'm working with now is I want to have 3 set days a week that I have to her, and then she's in school 2 days a week, and so I can focus on work those days. And then on the weekends, her father is home, so he can have her and take care of her then. So I have 4 days that I can, you know, spend towards working.
Got it. Okay. And have you been with that schedule for a while, or is it kind of just being put into place? Where are you in the process?
It's being put into place. So this is probably the third week. Yeah, this is the third week that I've really been working on it. And only having the 4 days and pulling a 40-hour week requires, you know, more or less 10-hour days. So I slowly worked my way up to that. So they were, you know, the first week I did, like, you know, the normal 8 to 9-hour days, and then I'd fill in hours in the evenings. Last week I did the 4 days, which went pretty well, and then this week I'm doing the 4 days. And well, this week actually is kind of a wonky week. So I am trying to figure out where I can squeeze in those work hours.
Sure. Okay. So it sounds like sometimes it might be, your schedule might vary depending on what else is going on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so what's the biggest challenge for you around that, or the biggest group of challenges?
I guess one of the biggest challenges with it is getting, like, large projects. So when I'm working, and that's kind of what's throwing this week off a little bit, on top of, you know, me taking a day off this weekend, is normally if I didn't have a large project, it would be okay for me to, like, take that day off and not be stressed out. So I guess the hardest thing is large projects on top of the daily work.
Okay. So your daily work is around insurance claims, is that right?
It is, yep.
Okay.
Around handling patient accounts and insurance.
Okay. And then the large project, what does it involve?
So the large project, it's revolving around the what patients have paid versus what insurance has paid. So it's a full breakdown of last year for all of appointments that we've had.
Okay. And is that something you normally do differently rather than a huge project after the year's over?
No. So I've done it once before, and that was like 3 years ago. So it's not – so it was a little taxing at first because I'm like, what did I do 3 years ago?
Right.
How did I handle this? And, you know, looking at the Excel sheet from 3 years ago, I'm like, why did I put this information in? And now that, you know, I'm kind of getting into the works of it and breaking it down, I'm like, oh, that's why I needed that information that I just removed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So I do feel, while I'm doing this, I'm thinking, I'm like, I should just do this every year. I feel like that would be easier if I just, like, had set time at the beginning of each year that I, you know, go through. Or even, you know, adding it into my, you know, monthly or, I guess, quarterly, quarterly routine, because that's, we're breaking it down by the quarter. So adding into like a quarterly routine, so it's not, you know, so frustrating. Towards the middle of the year now, I guess.
Is the purpose of this to recover cash that has slipped through the cracks, or is that part of it, or is that there other reasons?
So that actually has become part of it. It wasn't initially part of it, but as I started breaking it down, I started finding those claims that started slipping through the cracks. So that has taken, that's like diverged me from the original project. So it became two projects.
So what's the purpose of the original project?
The purpose of the original project is just to see our average intake. And figuring out if we, you know, need to raise rates, or if we can keep the same, or if we need to go out of network with insurances that aren't necessarily up to par. It's just a breakdown of what we're getting paid, and so that we can adjust for the future.
Gotcha. All right. So how far along in the 2019 project are you?
I'm going to have to go over it again too. I'm probably about 40% through, like 35-40%.
Okay. And when did you start working on it?
I started actually focusing on this Sunday. So today's the third day that I've been working on it.
Oh my gosh. And so you're, I was expecting you to say a month ago. So
right, no.
The reason I'm asking is then if you could do quarterly from here on out, that sounds way better. Have you come to that conclusion yourself also?
I have, yeah. So what I'm going to do in July, because July will start the third quarter,
exactly.
Is I'll probably do the past two. And actually, I have that. I was going over my calendar today, and I have that marked on my calendar. A
like
data set aside
time,
to it.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So So what I did was I broke down, so this planning is like 2 years in the work. So if you're like, oh, you're doing great, it's because I've been working on it for a while.
I hear you.
But what I've done, and next month will be when I really fully implement it, is I've marked down what I need to do monthly, what I need to have done weekly, and what I need to do daily.
Toward this project?
Just towards work in general.
Okay.
I guess as I go through this and continue to refine it, next month is to go through old claims, which is, you know, for those ones that can slip through the cracks, and then on top of that, do the quarterly. Actually, I need to write that down. So that would actually be quarterly. I need another section, I guess. So quarterly review. Yeah. So
I'm curious. One of the ways I support clients is by looking at their strengths, and I know how to kind of guide you. And what I'm curious about is it makes sense to me that your restorative strengths is really running this whole show, maybe your whole job. And I'm curious, because your other four strengths are relationship-building strengths, which are people strengths. So how does that – tell me how that works for you. Like, you know, you used to be front desk, and so you probably use your people strengths a lot. So what's going on with you now in regard to that?
In regards to other people is that when I do go through these past claims, I'm able to like fight with the insurance companies and get them covered graciously. So it's not the argument part that comes into relationships, but it's the fact that I'm able to like get claims covered for patients that wouldn't otherwise be covered.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm able to kind of be at least, I guess, a liaison in a way between the insurance companies and our patients.
Yeah. Do you like being a patient advocate?
I do, yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right. So that's part of the whole not the whole reason, but a big part of the reason for knowing your strengths is to make sure that you're doing stuff that is fulfilling to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing it a long time, and from my perspective, you were always amazing at the front desk, but I see what you're saying now, that you're still working on behalf of the same people, the patients, but
mm-hmm.
in sort of a back room capacity. And
yeah.
Okay. All right. So is there anything about that that you find, you wish that your job had something more in it, or there was a way that you could feel like you were contributing, like, your strongest suits, which go well beyond
mm-hmm.
strengths? Or does this feel like a really good fit for you, especially because you have a family now?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, as far as, you know, like my personal life goes, it's definitely a good fit in that regard, because I'm able, you know, I'm able to be at home. So if, you know, if Jocelyn is sick, then it's easy for me to be like, hey, you know, I'll make up my hours later, you know, something like that. So it's the flexibility is good for my personal life. Overall, you know, it's a lot of number. It is. There, the patient advocate side is a very, very small portion of it. A lot of it is staring at a screen and punching numbers.
Right.
And then you have the flip side of it when you're having to collect money from patients, and then it becomes very confrontational with the people that you are trying to advocate for, and it's like, well, this is your responsibility, you know. So there's definitely, I feel like there's a lot more confrontation in this side of the job than I would like, but I don't really know how I could, you know, negate that or get rid of that. Back to the original, if it's a good fit. You know, I don't know. Overall, I don't feel like it's like an overly fulfilling position. Just because, like I said, there is just a lot of, you know, me sitting in my room, in my office, and staring at a screen and crunching numbers. And there are times when, because I'm, you know, disconnected from the main office, there are times that I don't feel like I'm fully connected with the rest of the team. And I guess that's a frustrating part of it. But on the other side of that, I do know that I contribute a lot to the team, you know, because there are a lot of times when I'm sending them emails and updating them on, you know, patient information that they can't get or don't know how to get.
Right.
So I feel like an essential part, just disconnected.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, because I think just you stating it, maybe you were already aware of it, but you can create more ways to connect with the team, and you can talk to Shannon about that now, but she'll have all kinds of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the confrontation part, I might be able to help you with that. You and I share the strengths of connectedness and empathy, but all of my top strengths are people strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And for one of the first businesses my sister and I owned was a singles newspaper, and I sold ads, and then I had to collect the money for the ads. And for some reason, I collected money like nobody's business. I was really good at it. And I don't, you know, two of my people strengths are in the influencing area, so that's different than
mm-hmm.
you. Like, I think it's mm-hmm. probably my influencing strengths that were like, hey, you know, you owe this, so, you know, do you have your checkbook on you?
Yeah.
And I'm standing in their place of business usually, right? So it was a little challenging, but I loved the challenge because, you know, we needed their advertising money to keep running the business. And
mm-hmm.
so I imagine I liked it more than you probably would, because all of yours are relationship building strengths, which is just a little bit different energy than influencing. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, coupled with restorative, especially restorative being your number one, I'm wondering if there's some kind of justice aspect to restorative, or even connectedness, that it's like not personal and you're just advocating for the right thing to be done. Is there anything in you like that?
Yeah, I could see that. I'm thinking about what you're saying, kind of mulling it over. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Because I do, when it is difficult for me, because when the insurance when I go through the appeal process and everything like that, and the insurance company still doesn't want to cover a certain claim, I feel it's difficult for me to go to the patient and be like, hey, you owe, hundreds of dollars for this care that we provided for you. Because I know that the business needs the money. Like, we wouldn't survive if we didn't have that money coming in one way or another. And I know that it does, patients have to accept the responsibility of what insurance doesn't cover. And that's something that they take on when they come to us for care. But at the same time, I'm like, but they need the care.
And if
we can't get this covered, it's now they're out, all this money, and now, they may not be able to continue to receive the care. So there is always, that me like, well, can we do this one pro bono, but if I had my way, everything would be pro bono, and I know that doesn't work.
Clearly. Yeah. In a different utopian sort of world.
Right. So I think there is a little bit of an internal conflict that's going on there of, like, my heart and my reasoning, of being like, no, they, that you have to, and if they don't pay for a while, it's like, no, you have to send them collections. And it's just a lot of me, like, talking myself down. Like, you can't just write that off. You have to go through the proper channels. I guess there is a little bit of a conflict, internal conflict there, as far as, I guess, and as you said, like, wanting to do the right thing, but the right thing always isn't the right thing to do, I guess.
I hear you. And especially when you're talking about something where somebody's in pain, and so you want them to get the help and healing and out of pain they need.
Mm-hmm.
And also then there's the whole ugly side of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, in the beginning, is there enough communication? Like, does it end up shocking people that their insurance company won't cover, or is it just like sad, but they kind of realized it was coming?
That's a good point to bring up, because that was something, as we've gone through all these changes with, like, front desk staff and moving billing out and everything like that, I feel like that communication has been lacking. When it was Wade and I that were running the front desk and we were both doing the billing, there was always that communication of, like, hey, this is going through your insurance. Sometimes they reject claims. We will, we'll try to get this covered for you, but ultimately if it's not covered, you will be responsible. So we always made that clear, whereas now, since there's not that knowledge of how you work with insurances and what the process is, I feel like that communication is starting to lack. So when patients don't get something covered, and especially now that we've expanded, when it was just chiropractic that we were covering, it was more or less okay. There were a lot less denied claims.
Sure.
But now that we have, like, massage and acupuncture that's getting billed through, there's a lot more claims that are denied because people don't realize what coverage that they have. So I feel like there has maybe been more backlash in the past year and a half, of not having, of the patients not having that communication. And I've tried reiterating it a few times to front desk, but there's so much that goes on and goes into it, especially when you have people who haven't done it before. And like I said, haven't handled insurance companies. It slips through the cracks. So I do feel like that communication between front desk and the patients as they're scheduling, I feel like that is vital. That way it does become, instead of being shocked and you said this would be covered, it becomes okay, you let me know. You know, it sucks that it's not covered, but you let me know it might not be.
Right. Okay. So I've got a couple of ideas for that. Hang on, I'm writing something down. Okay. So it totally makes sense to me, the gap you're describing from when both you and Wade were the only front desk people and you were also the billing people, like
mm-hmm.
you knew it was in your own self-preservation interest to
mm-hmm.
alert them at the beginning, right? And so now you don't have that at all. And also, isn't Shannon a person who's at the front desk a fair amount? Other people. But
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking for you to sit down with Shannon and devise either a short script that they use at the
mm-hmm.
front desk and or a patient handout that they sign.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right? Because that's where this isn't going to be a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Shannon would be up for doing that because it just makes everybody more knowledgeable and less...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, given the confrontations that you've had, not you personally, in
mm-hmm.
the office, you know, like, who wants that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so this is an easy thing up front. If a person isn't comfortable with that, can you do something ahead of time to definitively find out from their insurance company if it will be covered? Like, instead of it's already been done and now somebody owes... then
mm-hmm.
they get to decide, and I'm sure 9 times out of 10 they'll still decide to go ahead,
mm-hmm.
but they're going ahead with the understanding of what it is.
Yeah, so sometimes we're able to check, and a lot of times if it's coming to me and I'm checking, then if I'm not able to find a definitive answer, I send a message and say, hey, I wasn't able to find your exact coverage. You'll have to call your insurance company. And a lot of time, and especially for massage, because massage, it's nearly impossible for us to check benefits, which is ridiculous, but it is what it is. So a lot of times for massage, we'll let them know that they have, it's written their responsibility to call their insurance company. And we'll give them codes.
Great.
And have them check those codes. But even with that, there's been sometimes when they get the wrong information from the insurance company.
Oh,
and when I get the claim back, it's denied as non-covered. And then it becomes, well, because there's more trust, which is ridiculous to me, especially since I work with insurance companies, but there's more trust for the insurance companies than there is for the company. So it's, well, it
natural
becomes,
balance,
well, you must, yeah, for natural balance. So for patients. So if a patient talks to their insurance company and they say one thing and then they come to us and we receive denied claims, well, we must have done the billing wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. So then it becomes, okay, well, I'll try resubmitting it. If it's still denied, you know, you're still responsible. So there's definitely confrontations like that. Whereas actually just like a recent case, I sent out statements and there's like a $20 charge for this woman's kid. And she went online and used her like health savings to send it out. And so they debited her account, but we never received payment. And so I was, you know, I let her know. I was like, hey, I see that you have a debit on your account, but we haven't received a check or, you know, any type of credit card payment from them. And since you didn't do it directly with us, I don't have any proof of payment. So the balance is not paid. And she's, you know, now she's just ignoring me. So she's been ignoring the emails. And so at that point, and I sent her a follow-up email when I sent it, because this was about a month ago, and I just sent out statements again. So I sent her a follow-up email. I said, hey, we haven't received any notification of payment. This balance is still outstanding. Can you let me know how your bank sends out payments? And it's just, she's just ignoring me. So it's going to get down to the point where it does go to collections. And so there's, I guess there's a pending confrontation coming with that one as well. So it's little things like that that I mean, you know, so, so if we're not, they just look at us like we're trying to take them and we're not, you know, we're not, It's there's just a miscommunication, and I guess it's like that triangular thing, like somebody's disconnected,
right.
When it's between, you know, so yeah, so it is difficult in that regard, with the confrontation, and I guess coming back to the point of just talking with Shannon and seeing what we can, because we do have, like, consented treatments that state, you know, if your insurance denies this or whatever is not covered, you'll be responsible for, and you are responsible for checking, knowing your benefits. And I guess that's a hard part of patient care, is that there is a large amount of patient responsibility, and they think because there's two companies that, you know, they're paying to do these things, that they don't have to take any type of responsibility or knowledge. That becomes very, I guess, a gray area, and for a lot of people, because they don't feel like they need to check because they're already paying out money. But they do. Like, there's a large amount of patient responsibility in patient care. So, and I guess just how do we properly vocalize that?
Yes.
And sorry, I rant.
No, it's really important. And I'm a little slow to respond because I'm stunned that if they have a choice between trusting what their doctor's saying and trusting what the insurance company's saying, that they think it's the insurance company said the right thing. But I guess really what it boils down to is whoever's saying you still owe the money, they don't like that.
Exactly. Well, and it kind of sticking with that point, it's funny because anytime that you call an insurance company, they say that they have a disclaimer that it's not what they tell you could be inaccurate, and that it's not. Yeah, I don't remember how they word it, but they say that it and nothing's finalized until your EOB comes back, is pretty much. So your EOB is pretty much what has the final say over any representative that you talk to. Because they're hiring, a lot of insurance companies are overseas. So they're having people that speak English, but not very well, enough to read scripts. And, so you can't, when you're asking definitive questions, they can't give you a definitive answer because they can't, they don't have the vocabulary to do it. They have a script that they read. So, it's difficult in that regard too, for them to get the proper information. And so it is kind of funny that they're trusting the insurance companies over the doctor's offices, especially when there's a disclaimer saying we may give you false information.
Right. Is EOB, is that evidence of benefit?
Explanation of benefits, but yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And so can the patient get that ahead of time if they want to?
So that only comes back. It's attached to the claims. They do have their, they get, each year you get a printout with your insurance, or you can go online and get it, that has a plan, your plan breakdown. But even in things like that, a lot of times they leave out massage therapy. So that's been the one that we have the hardest issue with, is checking the massage benefits. And then sometimes acupuncture benefits. It's very convoluted, the information that they give you, even in those things. So it's hard for us to say exactly what somebody's going to owe. And that's the hardest part. You know, we can say, we can give you a ballpark, but we can't definitively say what you owe until we receive the explanation of benefits.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right. So the whole reason I wanted to understand all the detail of this is to help you have a way that you could view this part of the job as something different than confrontation. And it sounds like you're doing an amazing amount of work, and it's the system that kind of has some flaws in it.
Yeah.
And still, I'm wondering if maybe there's just a way that you think about it more and then communicate with the patient, whether you're talking to them or putting it in writing. Like that one person that you're telling me might have to go to collections, to just send the last communication and say, listen, you know, you're a valued patient and
mm-hmm.
we need you to pay this, and I'm letting you know that if it's not paid by X, it'll go to collections, and I would really hate to see that for you. So that it's a way that you communicate and think about it, how you think about
mm-hmm.
it, you know, because we can't control how they think about it.
Exactly, yeah.
That you're giving them every opportunity and using language that shows you're still on their side.
Okay.
Do you already do that? Would it help? Is there a little tweaking?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's probably definitely tweaking to be had. because I do try to. And I think where it started getting difficult, and I guess when it gets to the point of like collections, it becomes like strictly business, which probably isn't necessarily fair. But getting up to that point, it is, you know, definitely trying to find that middle ground between personal and professional of being like, hey, I am trying to help you out. I am on your side. But I've learned, and I guess it's a bad thing to learn. Maybe I can unlearn it. That when you, and maybe I was just getting too personal. But when you're in the business like that and you start to get too personal, it pretty much bites you on the ass. Because there were other patients that I was always, you know, advocating for and like sending, you know, hey, I know that, you know, you're going through a rough stage right now, and you know, I know with everything that's going on, and I'd get personal with them, and then in the end, it would just like they'd cut off communication and you know, not pay or take advantage of the system, or you know, have too many no call no shows, and then blow up at us when we would actually start charging them. So when you start getting too personal, they take it too personal and they stop looking at you in a professional manner, and stop looking at you like a business, you know. So that was, and I don't know if it's just the community that we work in, or if it's just worldwide, or if I was getting, you know, too personal with it and not keeping that professional side.
Yeah, so maybe if you were to tweak it, you could take out the part about knowing their situation
mm-hmm.
and just keep it to the part of knowing what goes on with insurance companies.
Okay.
And do you think that would make a difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
honestly,
and then... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and then when I do that, I just wind up writing super long emails that nobody reads.
Oh, no. Okay, you need a few templates and a good editor, and then you just use them over and over again. How about that?
No, that's probably a good way. And I have, like, copy-pasted emails, and use them as templates. So, no, I think getting back to that is probably a good idea. I maybe I'm a little bit rusty with it because I was, you know, all last year, I was fairly disconnected. And the personal transition of becoming a mother and everything like that, I was in a different space. So with that, my communications with patients was very limited. Now that I'm getting more into it, you know, because a lot of times it'd be like, you know, Shannon would say, hey, patient said this, and I'd say, hey, we'll say this. So now that I'm trying to pull everything into being email related, that way we both have, you know, the business has and the patients have record of everything
exactly.
that was said. I am, you know, getting back into that patient communication. And maybe, and you're probably right that I should have some type of, like, each insurance that I know how it works, create a template and
yes.
and stick to that.
And in fairness to you, Jillian, when I look at your relationship building strengths, some of the relationship building strengths are like broad strengths. They're sort of to all people or to a group of people. And some are very one-on-one. Like relator, developer, and empathy are all very much one-on-one. Relator, it's how you and I are relating. It's not a broad thing of how you relate to all people. Developer mm-hmm. is working with people one-on-one and helping them see just the next step in their process, whether it's you developing yourself, you helping your daughter learn, or you with a patient just walking them through this process. But it's very one-on-one. And empathy is you feeling a person one at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the strength of adaptability, which is also a relationship building strength, is in whatever situation you're in, you're adaptable to it. So it's less personal. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
And connectedness can kind of be either. Like connectedness could be the way you and I are connecting. It could be the way you see how the whole thing interacts. You, the doctors, the people at the insurance company, and the patient, right? That you could see sort of that web or that network. And not everybody that has connectedness has all of these ways. It's also, connectedness is also a thing of you make connections between, oh, if I tweak this thing here, that'll make everything else in this process easier. So you might have it
mm-hmm.
like that. So for you, are you aware of how your connectedness tends to work?
I think part of it is like tweaking processes and making them work better.
Okay.
Especially through this pandemic, I hope that has been a strength that I've been offering, at least from my side. Because there are, you know, as we've been moving to like electronic health records, I've been trying to make it easier for Shannon and front desk to, you know, read patient charts. I've been trying to figure out ways that of making sure that communication is there. I guess between from me to front desk, from front desk to the patient. So there's other various little faucets of the billing aspect that I'm looking at now. That I'm like, hey, I don't have to do this if I do this.
Right.
So yeah. So I think that in that way, I guess I can. I don't know if that one's overly, because you say it's a people strength, but for me, I feel like it is more of like a back office, like a technology strength, because I'm trying to figure out how to get things. I'm losing my train of thought, but I guess looking at how claims are set out and what's a better process of doing it that is more connected. Because there were certain claims that we used to like batch together and that caused claims to get missed. Whereas now I'm like, okay, I just have to, you know, hammer these out and figure out a better way to do these. So I guess I see the web of technology and the web of things and processes more than I see like the webs of people.
Got it. And that makes total sense because you have restorative, number one. So restorative is see a problem and fix it. And so our strengths don't operate one at a time ever. We just learn them that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I imagine happens for you is your restorative and connectedness are working together flawlessly all the time and nobody's stopping to think, you know, well, this is a relationship building strength. Why is it working toward technology? And it
yeah.
is because that's where you see the issue. That's restorative. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah. So even though Shannon's number one strength is connectedness, but it probably shows up completely different for her because she has other different strengths than you, right? And
mm-hmm.
so I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I don't write off CO. Dr. Anselmo, is she still there? She is, right?
She is, yep.
Yeah, so she also has connectedness. And so does Liz. So, like, you could, you know, just pay attention to your interactions with them if you're having any right now. And, you know, just start to see that, oh, good grief, two other people do too, Jenny and Amanda. So all of you have connectedness. So don't be overly concerned. Like, the point of looking at your strengths is to be helpful, so you do not have
mm-hmm.
to think about, well, why is this technology? Because that's where you are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So thinking through the whole thing around the claims and the patients, I want to wrap that up, and then I also want to wrap up where we started, which was with your project. But it sounds like you kind of moved your project into what it's going to look like so that by the end of this year, you'll just automatically be doing your daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly things, and there won't be a project anymore. Is that true?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll make okay. one project,
so,
small project.
Do you feel like there's anything you and I could do right now to give you additional support toward that, or does it feel like you already know what you're doing to go toward that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think like I said, it's been a process. It's 2 years in the making of proper time management and figuring out what things I need to do. So I think right now I just kind of have to keep going with the flow
yeah, yeah.
of how I'm trying to work it out. And then if I continue hitting walls or hitting issues, in the future, if we have another call, then we can discuss that.
Yeah. Well, and Shannon had mentioned to me about you 2 or 3 calls. So we
mm-hmm.
could schedule another one in a good time frame where you'd have some time to sort of work on all this, think about it. You now sort of have a sense of what you and I could do with it. And,
okay.
you know, we could go from there because now
yeah.
you're going to go back and do some things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anything else around the project right now?
No.
Okay. And then as far as the more specific thing about the patients and a script or a patient handout that you would talk about with Shannon, is there anything
mm-hmm.
else around that right now?
I don't think so. I think I would just have, like I said, I think I would just have to sit down and kind of write something out and talk with Shannon
right.
and see how it fits in with, you know, especially because now they're doing a lot of things through text messages.
Yes.
So it's hard to have like a long-winded, hey, this is, you know, the breakdown. So maybe even talking with her about sending out, you know, an email right after an appointment is scheduled.
Yeah.
And seeing what that looks like.
And if there's still, you know, if there's a way you could use the text messaging aspect to say, hey, we wanted you to fully understand this, so we've sent you an email. Look for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be good. Just like a little insurance disclaimer.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I do. I think I need to talk with Shannon. And I mean, I have like three stacks of another project that I'm working on too. So, because I was going to say I could follow up just what they schedule, but I just don't know if I have the capacity at the moment to do that. So I guess that'll just have to be something I talk with Shannon about. Because I know that they're, at the moment they're you know, stretched thin, and I'm fairly stretched thin, so.
So you just do what you can, and if
yeah.
neither you or they can do much now, you have the framework for when you get to it, you can do something
mm-hmm.
a little different.
Okay.
So usually in wrapping up, we look at what you're going to be doing for homework, which you've already mentioned talking with Shannon about this. Is there anything else you want to state as what you'll be doing between now and next time that we talk?
I guess just a few things that we, you know, we discussed, like looking over, planning out, you know, maybe planning out a month in advance of like what I have to be doing daily, monthly, weekly. Making a schedule and keeping to it. And talking with Shannon in regards to what I need to convey to patients when they're first coming in.
Yeah, great. And I've heard you say a couple times, like, it sounds like you don't feel like you're always the best at sticking to a schedule. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'm getting better, but
okay,
things just come up. And
of course.
Yeah, that or like, does this take more precedence than what I need to be doing? And so,
is there any more support you'd like from me around helping you stick to it?
I mean, I guess if you have any helpful suggestions as far as you know, proper time management and focusing and anything like that.
I think the main thing is what you brought up, that there is going to be stuff that comes up that is more urgent rather than the overall structure. Like, ideally, most of your time is spent on getting stuff done in an orderly manner, but then there's other stuff that is more urgent, more
mm-hmm.
time-sensitive. So sort of, like, if you don't have any idea right now how much time that really takes, you could track it for a month to see. Or you could recognize that you need to set aside, hang on a second. Oh, my goodness, something was stuck in the back of my throat and you didn't need to hear
uh-huh.
me cough.
Oh.
You would set aside some time, like you wouldn't fill up all of your hours completely with the project because there's always going to be stuff that comes along. So
mm-hmm.
you can either, for the next month, track how much of that comes in, or you can start realizing that you need to set aside a certain amount of time and then see if that's sufficient. Does
okay.
either one of those sound like it would fit better for you?
Yeah, no, I think those are actually, after I asked the question, I was like, oh, maybe I should set aside time. And then you said it.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
so,
you're always
no,
stuff like that.
Yeah, so maybe. And you know, I have been looking at, you know, so for the daily, because a lot of when emails come in, so I have, you know, I have a day or two a week that I'm writing down emails, you know. So those are the days that I spend only on, you know, emails. So maybe I should put in like an hour or so a day and just for time that, I can, you know, just free time, I guess, that I can do other little things that I need to do or time sensitive things that I need to do.
Great.
And I think that's good because it gives me a break from the monotony of staring at numbers all day.
Exactly. Okay, great. And so then next time we'll talk, you'll have some real live information about you did set it aside or you weren't able to set
mm-hmm.
it aside, or there was more of it than you thought, or there was less of it than you thought, and adjust accordingly.
Okay.
So do you want to schedule a time at a certain amount out? Do you want to wait until it gets closer and we can schedule when you feel like it would be helpful? What's going to help you best?
I mean, I guess we could, I mean, how far out do you think? Maybe like a month or so? Or
that's kind of what I was thinking. Do you feel like there'd be a reason to do it shorter or longer?
You know, maybe towards the end of July, maybe pushing it out, because
sure.
this month is like I have two projects that I'm working on, and I'm actually going to, you know, let Jessica and Shannon know that I'm kind of at my max at the moment.
Yeah, great.
And
okay.
That, you know, because if I take on anything more, I think something's going to fall. So I was thinking about writing them an email and letting them know that for this month, for the rest of this month, for the next 2 weeks, I just need to focus on what I have on my plate, and not take much more on, or hopefully not have much more asked of me. And of course, if they need me, they need me. So July would be that first month of, like, really, you know, banging out a schedule and trying to stick to it. So maybe towards the end of July, we can kind of look at the month in retrospect.
Yeah, fantastic. And would it work for you? I'm just looking at my schedule. Would it work for you if we did it the first week in August, the week of August 3rd?
Okay, August 3rd. We could do that. We could do the 4th or the 5th.
Do you have a preference?
We could do let's do the 4th. I think the 4th would work. Yeah, the 4th would work good because I'm hoping, yeah, the 4th should work good because I think that my workload would be lighter that day.
Okay. And around this time of day, is there a time that's better than another?
Trying to think. I mean, we could do morning if I don't know what time you start taking calls.
Yeah, I don't typically do calls in the morning. I do other
okay,
work
no,
in the morning.
That's yeah. Absolutely fine. Then we could do if you have either a 2 or a 3.
I have both at this point. Do you have a preference?
We could do a 2.
All right. So I'm on Tuesday, August 4th at 2 o'clock.
2 p.m. call. Perfect.
All right. And if you want to send me anything ahead of time, just sort of synopsizing what's happened, that gives us a little bit of a jump start because I'm already up
okay.
to speed. If that's helpful for you, do it. If it causes you stress, don't do it, and we'll talk
okay.
about it. But you didn't send me anything today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever works best for you, just wanted to give you that option of
okay.
if I do have it, then we can do a little bit more hands-on work in the session.
Yeah, it might be helpful for me to, like, kind of organize my thoughts.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I said, I'm a rambler. So
organize your thoughts, and if you could send
okay.
it to me on Monday, that would be great.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So,
sounds great.
Good deal. I will talk to you then, if not before.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Anne.
You bet. Bye, Jillian.
Yep. Bye. Take care.
You too.